All right, we're looking tonight at this prayer here. We've covered some of this tonight. But I noticed here when I looked at it this time that the prayer is threefold. Paul is praying for the church at Philippi. He said, and this I pray in verse number 9. He wants, number one, their love, that it may abound more and more and in knowledge and in all judgment. And then verse number 10, he said, I not only want your love to abound more and more, but I want you to approve things that are excellent. Let me ask you a question. How can we tell what's excellent? There's only one way I know. That's line it up with the Word of God. Amen. If it lines up with the Word of God, then it's excellent. If it's something we can do to the glory of God, then it's excellent. And the Bible said here, approve things that are excellent. And then he said, my prayer number 3 is that you might be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. My wife and I were sitting at the dinner table with Brother Mike Bagwell and his wife, Debbie. And I was telling him where we had kind of left off here in the book of Philippians. And I was telling him about that word sincere, how that it means to be judged in the sunlight. How many knows Brother Mike had something to add to that? Say amen right there. And Brother Mike said, yeah. He said, well, preacher, he said, a good way to describe that. And my wife knew this term, but I didn't. How many's ever heard of sincere furniture? I've never heard of sincere furniture. Well, see there, she's the only smart one in the crowd. Say amen. And but anyway, Brother Mike was talking about this furniture. My wife had heard, or he was talking about this term, sincere. And my wife had heard about sincere furniture. And he said there would be flaws in the furniture, and they would fill it in with wax before they put the top coat over it. And he said sincere furniture is one that don't have any wax in it. It's all wood. Say amen right there. In other words, just be real for the glory of God. Amen. And let it come from the heart. And I thought, boy, that's good. And then we look here tonight, and we talked about much of this. But there were some more verses that I didn't get to. And some of those verses, I'm just going to run through them quickly. And then we're going to get on into verse number 11, the good Lord willing. I just realized that I don't have my microphone on tonight. Amen. Whose fault is that? You know what I think? I think it's Brother Richards. He's the one that laid out. Amen. You'll tell him, won't you, Harv? Amen. Tell him, brother. I don't care. Amen. Amen. I'm just picking, guys. Amen. I mean that. I'll just stay here tonight. Amen. We'll get more done if I stay here anyway. Amen. All right. The Bible said here, in Joshua, he said, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. So there's that word sincerity. In 1 Corinthians 5:8, the Bible said, therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Seems like sincerity is always kind of close kin to truth, don't it? Amen? How, you know, there are some people in the world, let me just say this, that are sincere, but they're sincerely wrong because they're not near the truth. Am I right or am I wrong? I mean, there's some people that are very sincere. Some of them knocked on our door the other day. My daughter answered the door, and she said after she told them, you know, that I was the pastor of Bible Way Baptist and asked them if they had a King James Bible, that they was kind of on the run in a hurry. They didn't have much more to say. Amen. I said, amen. They're sincere. I believe that. But they're sincerely wrong. Now, real sincerity must be lined up with the truth. 2 Corinthians 1:12 said, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we've had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you are. In 2 Corinthians 2:17, he said, we're not as many which corrupt the word of God. That's just exactly what I'm just talking about. But as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. I believe there are a lot of people that are corrupting the word of God. And we learned about that in 2 Peter, that no scripture is of private interpretation. You can't just pull a verse out, amen,
and build a doctrine on it when there's so many other verses contrary to that. Amen? And we need to look at it in its whole and in its context. And then the Bible said here in 2 Corinthians 8 and 8, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others to prove the sincerity of your love. By the way, I'm just going to say this tonight. I believe that's the reason tests come in our life. Amen. God sometimes wants to prove us. He's not trying to hurt us. Amen. But Abraham was a good man. Abraham was a godly man. But Abraham was tested. Amen. I mean, you let God call on you to take your only son up there on the mountain. Amen. And raise a knife up and stick it through him. It was a test. I remember what Brother Garris said years ago. He was preaching. Brother Ron Garris said, this is a test. This is only a test. Amen. We need to remember that in our Christian life. The test will come. But it's not because God hates us. He's proving the sincerity of our love for him. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 24, the Bible said, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. In Titus chapter 2 and verse number 7, he said, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, and insincerity. I tell you, that's what every grandparent in this room ought to be concerned about. Every parent in this room ought to be concerned about. That we're a pattern that our children, amen, can see, amen, that is a sincere pattern, a pattern likened to the Son of God, amen. That's what the being a Christian is all about. And so there's this thing of being excellent. God said, Paul said, I'm going to pray your love will be abound more and more. I'm going to pray that you'll approve things that are excellent. And then I'm going to pray that you will be sincere and without offense until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. I believe that's important. When you look at a couple more things here in this verse, not only sincere, but look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 8 for just a moment. I'm going to turn to some of these verses. I just made me a note. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 8, it'll tell us something about this. Also Ephesians chapter 5. We'll be going there in just a moment. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 8, the Bible said, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God wants us to be blameless in the day of Christ when he comes to get us. Amen. He wants us to be blameless. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 10. Listen to what the Word of God said here. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 10. I tell you what, I'm trying to give up that old Bible, but it's hard to give up. I'm talking about the one I've been using probably for 21 or 22 years. I've got something here in the pages stick together on, but I'm going to have to start in on another one. That other one's falling apart. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 10, the Bible said, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 13. How many believes if it's acceptable unto the Lord, you can prove it? Amen. It'll prove itself out. Amen. I'm telling you it will. In 1 Thessalonians, I'm sorry, chapter 3 and verse number 13, the Bible said here that to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. How many believes that in the generation we live, there's not enough said about holy living? Amen. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the grace of God that saves a man once and forever. I'm not ashamed that the Holy Spirit of God seals us until the day of redemption. But I'm also not ashamed to say that Jesus' blood was shed that we might escape the dominion of sin and that we might live a life that's pleasing in his sight. Amen. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm glad tonight that, you know, the Bible said, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. My little children, I write these things unto you, 1 John chapter 2, that you sin not. But how many's glad, thank God, if we sin, we do have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And the Bible said if we confess our sin, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 23. Well, let me just read this in its context. Well, this is kind of a list. I can't get that list off of my mind in 2 Peter. Can you? I mean, it's left an indelible mark in my heart. Add to your faith. What are you going to add? Add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, what is it? Temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Amen. God wants us to add. Now watch this here. He said in verse number 16, see that you render, in verse number 15, I'm sorry, see that none render evil for evil unto any man. How many realizes when we start rendering evil for evil, we got uncoupled right there? Amen. When we start getting even, when we start taking vengeance into our own hands, we stopped walking in fellowship with God the very moment that we took it into our hand. Watch this list. He see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. God wants us to have a good testimony, even among sinners. The Bible said, rejoice evermore. The Bible said, pray without ceasing. The Bible said, in everything give thanks. How many believes this is a list to work on right here? Amen. The Bible said, quench not the spirit. The Bible said, despise not prophesying. The Bible said, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Then in verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. How many believe that? And then Paul said, brethren, pray for us. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, listen, look at it right here. There's a responsibility here. In verse 23, he said, the God of peace, the very God of peace, will sanctify you wholly. That means completely. Your whole spirit, your whole soul, your whole body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. How many believes God is faithful? Amen. The question is, are we going to be faithful? What to do what? Not to render evil for evil. Faithful to rejoice. Faithful to pray. Faithful to give thanks. Faithful to quench not the spirit. Faithful to prove all things. Faithful to abstain from all appearance of good. You know what we want? If we're not careful, we want verse 23 without verse 15 through verse 22. How many knows I just told it right? Amen. In other words, what I'm trying to say is you and I as God's people have a responsibility. Amen. We have a responsibility. Keep yourselves in the love of God. That's what the Bible said. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I'll guarantee you this. God will fulfill his responsibility. He's faithful. Amen. But we need to, my friend, I didn't say you, I said we. I know I do. I need to work on my part of the responsibility, amen, in this adding and in this living for the Lord, amen, without offense until the day of Jesus Christ. All right, let's go on to verse 11. Are you ready? The Bible said here, verse number 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory of God and praise of God. Now, Paul is assuming that God's people, when they are an answer to his prayer, that their love may abound, they're proving things that are excellent, they're sincere and without offense. He is assuming, on the authority of God's word, that that individual be filled. Now, the fruits of righteousness can only come by the Holy Spirit. We know that, don't we? Amen. Now, the Bible said, be filled with the Spirit of God. We know that God's filling us with his Spirit is him taking control of our lives. I've said this, and I hope I'm not misunderstood. We will never have more of the Holy Ghost than we got the day he saved us. I mean, he came in. Amen. By the way, he didn't just come in, he took over, didn't he? Amen. And you know, for at least a period of time, all of us were glad that he took over. We seen, is that the right word? We saw what was happening in our lives. Amen. And we saw what a mess we made out of our lives. Amen? And we were glad. How many knows that the flesh ain't going to stay glad long? And the flesh is going to raise up against what the Spirit of God is doing in a man's life. And come to try to hinder what God is doing. So he says being filled with the fruits of righteousness. It's not about us getting more of God. That's not what the Christian life is about. It's about God getting more of us. How many understands that? Amen? That we could deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what being filled is about. Now, I want you to see here in these verses here before, he's promoting a fellowship. And then in this verse number 11, he's promoting a filling, being filled with the fruits of the Spirit of God. I believe tonight that's important. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe sometimes the problem is not being filled. Listen to me carefully. Here's where the battle comes, being emptied. Say amen right there. How many knows every one of us has got some stuff in our life that don't belong there? Say amen. And the hard part's not getting the good stuff in. The hard part, amen, the difficult part is shedding the stuff. Amen. Being emptied. Amen. I remember preaching a message one time. I preached it right here in Kingsport, Tennessee. I won't tell you what church. And I was preaching a message kind of on holy living. And you say, can you do that in a Baptist church? Not many of them. But anyway, I was doing it anyway. Amen. And I had a cup. They had put me up there, a little cup, and it was a clear cup, or maybe it was a glass. Some reason or another, I called it a cup, so it must have been a small glass if it was. Filled plumb up there with water. You understand what I mean? And this is what I said. I said, right now, I said, everybody in here, I said, that cup's not been touched. No one would care to get them a drink out of that cup. And I reached in my pocket, and I took a penny out of my pocket, and I dropped it in that cup. Just a penny. That's all. I mean, you wouldn't want to do that in the Ebola days, would you? Amen. But anyway, I'm not making fun either. That man died in Texas. Amen. And if this country ain't careful, going to be a lot more people dying too while we're trying to stay politically correct. Say amen right there. I'm telling you what's the truth. Amen. I took that penny and I dropped it in there. Anyway, I should have titled the message when it was all over. God gave me that illustration while I was preaching. But I should have titled the message, Is There a Penny in Your Cup? I come down to the end of the message, and I asked that question. I said, is there a penny in your cup? I got through preaching, and there was a man that, as far as I know, this is the only time it's ever happened in my life face to face. There's a lot of people who rebuke you behind your back. But I got through preaching, and this man met me at the altar, and he said, preacher, he said, you done all right till you got to meddling. I tell you what, I was a lot younger than I am now. Amen. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, you need to preach the gospel and leave them politics alone. What did I say? I didn't say nothing. I'd done preaching. This woman come up to me. He went away. This woman come up to me and she said, preacher, she said, I need you to pray for my husband. I said, I'd be glad to, ma'am. I said, but I'd like to know, who is your husband? Somebody want to guess who she pointed at? Now I'm interested. I said, just exactly how do you want me to pray? She said, his cup's full of pennies. So I found out right quick, it wasn't the politics that was bothering him, it was the pennies. Amen? You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, listen, God will take his word if we'll read it and we'll study it and we'll listen to it. Amen. And he'll speak to our hearts and he'll help us that we can empty those things out that don't belong there, that he might fill us up with the things that do belong there. And that's what Paul's prayer was for the Philippian church. He said, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Now, this is important. He said, which are by Jesus Christ. I want you to turn to John chapter 15 for just a moment. John chapter 15. Man, I was wanting to get on down to verse number 12 tonight. I don't know if we're going to make it. In John chapter number 15. In John chapter number 15.
Here's how the Bible reads. Jesus said, I'm trying to get it apart here. I'm the true vine. Well, I'm still not there. It's right there. I'm getting separated. Amen. I'm going to put me some sticky stuff on my fingers before I get up. John chapter 15, verse 1. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now, here's what I want to say about fruit. Fruit comes from a connection to the vine. If a branch is not connected to the vine, it cannot bear fruit. Let me tell you something about a trap. This is a trap. It happened really bad in the 70s. Anybody knows anything about the 70s and the high pressure that was put on people? And by the way, I'm just going to go ahead and tell it like this. There's a lot of unsaved people in Baptist churches because of what went on. Pray this little prayer and you'll be all right. No repentance. No Spirit of God. Amen. We must be drawn by the Spirit of God. We must be convicted by the Spirit of God. It's more than just a 1, 2, 3. Repeat after me. Amen. Jesus said, I'm the true vine. You say, preacher, what was he going to say? Well, here's what I'm going to say. There was pressure put on to produce fruit. Let me tell you something tonight that will give you a great deal of peace. None of us can produce fruit. God doesn't want us to produce fruit. God wants us to stay hooked up to the vine, and he wants us to bear fruit to the glory of God. Amen. I tell you tonight, if he's the vine and we're the branches and we're hooked up to him, there'll be some fruit in our lives to the glory of God. Watch this now. He said, watch these stages. He said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Well, I wonder what people that get on the television and they preach, boy, if you're serving God, everything's going to go real well. And, oh, the health and wealth, you don't understand what I mean. The name it and claim it, that crowd, speak it and it's yours, amen. You know what I'm talking about? Wonder what they do with that right there. God said, listen, if you're a branch and you're in me and you're bearing fruit, I'm going to purge you every once in a while. Amen. I tell you, if you're going to have some good tomato plants, some of them things have to be clipped off. If you're going to have a good pear tree, it has to be pruned. A good apple tree must be pruned. And you and I, if we're going to be good soldiers of the Lord Jesus, must be pruned every once in a while. Jesus said, every branch in me that beareth fruit, he said, I'm going to prune it. Why? Watch this. Watch this progression. It's lovely in the Word of God. He said, now you're clean through the Word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. The only branch I've seen that could bear fruit of itself was the one my daddy cut off and whooped me with. You'll get that after a while. Amen. The Bible said the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me, or ye except you abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He said, he that abideth in me and I am him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. What you see here is no fruit. You see fruit. You see more fruit. And then you see much fruit. Watch this now. If a man abide in me, verse 6, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Abide not in me, excuse me. If a man abide not in me, is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Paul is concerned that the church at Philippi would be filled with the fruits of righteousness. But watch this next statement. Which are by Jesus Christ. I'm going to say it like this. There is no fruit of righteousness apart from Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, you got scripture for that? How about what Paul said? I think it was in Romans chapter number 7. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth how many good things? No good thing. So here's what Paul's saying. He's saying you take the branch
And just put it over here, apart from the vine, you can't find anything good. He's saying if the branch will abide in the vine, amen, everything good is the responsibility of the vine, not the branch, amen. We're just a channel of His blessing. That's all we are, a channel, a lifeline of the blessings of God. We need to throw out the lifeline, don't we? Throw out the lifeline. And then He says this, He says, unto the glory and praise of God. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 12. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 12. The Bible said here, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. You say, preacher, why should we be filled with the fruits of righteousness? Why should we abound more and more in this love? Why should we be sincere? Why should we approve things that are excellent? It's all wrapped up really in that one little thing right there. We should do it to the glory of God. The Bible said, do all to the glory of God. Whatsoever you do, whatsoever you eat, whatsoever you drink, do all to the glory of God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. We're right there in that same little book. The Bible said this, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things, look at that, may be glorified. How many believes God wants to be glorified in all things? I believe that with all of my heart. He wants to be glorified in all that we do. And then the Bible said, through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We need to let all of our things be done with charity. The Bible said we need to let all of our things be done decently and in order. But the Bible said this also, we need to let all of our things be done to the glory of God Almighty. Amen. I tell you what I'm going to do tonight. I'm going to uncouple right there. It's 5 minutes to eight. Give a little extra time to get the fellowship hall set up. I don't want to light in on the verse number 12 without plenty of time. Amen. I believe it'd be better just to hold that and light in on that next Wednesday night, God willing. I'll wet your whistle a little bit. Try to find some examples. In verse number 12, the Bible said, but the things which have happened unto me, am I right about that? I don't have in front of me. Is that the next verse? The things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. See if you can find, besides the Apostle Paul, see if you can find some examples of that in the Scripture. Maybe I'll find some more before next Wednesday night. But the few I did find, I'm already about to jump a bench over. Amen. I'm telling you, they're there in the Word of God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for our people. Thank you, Lord, for the purpose that we have in being here to pray together and to study the Word of God together. I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd bless our fellowship. I pray, God, you'd make us all. Lord, you know our weaknesses. You know our down settings. You know our uprising. You know our faults. You know our failures. You know about every stinking sin that we commit. God, I pray tonight that you'd help us to be holy. For you said, Lord, I am holy. Lord, help us, Lord, that we might turn that cup over to you, that you might examine it for pennies, that we might get that, Lord, would bring about defilement out, that we might have a good, cool drink of water for somebody that's thirsty along life's way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.